second hour of the Shattering Myths program, where we turn our attention to Yahweh's testimony. Over the past few days, we have been emphasizing statements that Yah made in first person through a scribe named Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah means Yah lifts up. This was corrupted to Jeremiah, which means nothing. And we considered in the program yesterday the first nine verses and through the 10th, even 11th verse of the 23rd chapter of Yirmiyah. Keep in mind that this entire witness, Yah speaking to us, was speaking specifically to Gentiles, to Goyim. Now, he uses often Yisrael and Yehudim as his case study in terms of the benefits of listening to him and the consequence of ignoring him. But his primary diatribe in this whole discussion is his animosity for religion, his animosity for politics, for those who claim to be shepherds of the people, who instead lie to them and who lead people away from him, just as those politicians who want voters to be dependent upon the government. They want more than 50% of people to pay no tax and yet to be beneficiaries of government checks, because when they are, they become reliant on that very government and are much easier to control. So speaking of the shepherds, these political and religious institutional leaders, God said, indeed, the world is filled with idolatrous adulterers. Therefore, surely, as part of and from the presence of this curse, the world mourns for the dead and dries up. The pasture and the encampment wither and shrivel, becoming a barren wasteland. And their course of action, whereby they use oppression and extortion to facilitate their wayward lifestyle, was, is, and will continue to be completely and utterly wrong. And their use of power, influence, and authority is not honest. It's not trustworthy. It isn't appropriate. God is continuing to use those acting as shepherds analogy, because he is the one who desires the role of being our shepherd, of protecting us, guiding us, nurturing us, leading us. And yet it is men and human institutions who have intervened and corrupted and convoluted God's testimony so that men would instead rely on their shepherding, on their guidance, on that which they are providing. And God says it isn't good, that what they're providing leads to death. It's barren. It's a wasteland. And yet they have done this. They have perpetrated this extortion to finance their wayward lifestyle. And it continues to be wrong. Their use of power, their use of authority is not right. It isn't trustworthy. These things that we spoke about in the first half of this program, and this statement from God, should be seen together. God is telling you, don't be beguiled by these programs. Don't become dependent upon them. Don't trust religious and political leaders. They're lying. They're doing all of this to extort you for their own personal lust for power, control, authority, money. Indeed, moreover, speaking of the prophet and the priest, those who pretend to speak for God and those who pretend to serve him, he said they are in fact defiled and godless. Your pastor, your priest, they're godless. And even in my house I have found they are evil, prophetically declares Yahweh. Yes, even Judaism is evil. In fact, maybe even especially Judaism, because it is out of Pharisaic Judaism that these other religions have emerged. Christianity and Islam are both the outgrowth, the Pharisaic Judaism. You see, the Quran wouldn't exist. Islam would not exist. Allah would be unknown to the world if it weren't for the fact that rabbis in Yathrib sold Talmud stories to Muhammad, which he corrupted and twisted to create his Quran. There would be no Allahu Akbar without Yahweh. The fact is, too, that Christianity was created by a rabbi, Paul, a man steeped in the Jewish religious lore, who created his own religion based on a corruption of the Jewish Talmud. So, therefore, likewise, Yahweh continues, speaking of the malfeasance of religious and political leaders and their institutions, he says they have actually become their own way. And it's their own way to a slippery walk associated with their slick and empty and treacherous words in the darkness. You see, religion, politics, patriotism, reliance on one's country has become its own way. They have promoted a welfare state of dependence on government. They have promoted a religion which promotes their way. It's not God's way. And God is saying that it is their slippery walk with empty and treacherous words that have been spoken out of the light that have led people astray. And as a result, God says they stumble and they fall into it. How many people have stumbled and fallen into government's dependence because of the slippery and slick and empty and treacherous words that have been muttered by politicians over the years? How many have become victims to the schemes of religion and tripped in the darkness, stumbled and fallen because of the way, their own way, that is perpetrated but by the likes of what I, Paul, say, and the Roman Catholics who have their own canon, their own law, the infallibility of their Pope? Well, they indeed, they stumble, they fall. Indeed, God says, I will bring misfortune upon them. The year of their appointed judgment and punishment, prophetically declares Yahweh. You have to be very careful here. There's this preponderance of people, particularly in religion, that think that God is the perpetrator of harm, that God judges his people, and when he judges them during their lives, he brings harm upon them. You know, Jerry Falwell was one to say that 9/11 was a result of homosexual activity in America, and it was a result of the American Civil Liberties Union, and it was God judging America. It's nonsense. The fact of the matter is that God will judge, but he's not judging people during their lives. He's recording what they do. He's telling us that the perpetrators of religion and politics are self-indulgent liars. He's telling us not to believe them, not to become their victims. But this judgment is not occurring because God is bringing calamity upon them during their lives. It's after. They're gone. He's going to hold them accountable. He is going to appoint a day of judgment for them. There is a time where God will judge them and will punish them as a result. And, well, the vast preponderance of people aren't punished. The victims of these religious and political schemes aren't punished. Their lives simply cease to exist. Their souls evaporate into nothingness. Those who have instituted religions and political schemes, they will be held accountable, God's saying. I will judge them. I will punish them, prophetically says Yahweh. He's told us throughout his testimony that there will be a consequence, a judgment, a penalty, a price that will be paid for purposefully leading people astray. And that punishment, that consequence is fitting. Just as they led people away from God, their punishment will be an eternity separated from God. That is what hell is. There's no fires. There's no tortures. God isn't there like Allah, torturing the inhabitants. Hell is simply a lightless place, eternally separated from Yahweh. The penalty for the crime is exactly the crime itself. Leading people away from God through religion and politics, causing them to be dependent upon religion and country. God's saying, all right, because you led them away from me, your consequences, you shall forever be separated from me. The judgment is in the future, not on their lives now. Now, God is fair. Those whose empty words and slimy ways have caused so many to fall will stumble into the pit of darkness. Both of the candidates who debated last night will find themselves in this pit. The clerics and kings and presidents and wannabe presidents who have forced others to acquiesce to them will ultimately find themselves prostrate before God in judgment. Those who sought to elevate themselves by demeaning others will be cast down. The miserable misfortune of divine punishment awaits advocates of religion and politics. Their just recompense for having misled so many for so long. What's the contender's slogan? Believe in America. The antithesis of what God wants. What is the incumbent's slogan? Forward. Continue to walk away from Yahweh and towards government dependence. Forward. God is light. So, Ha Ephelah, the darkness that he speaks of in this statement, represents total separation from him. This place is translated the abyss in the Greek from abyssos, by way of the Latin abyssalis, in Revelation 9:11. Therefore, Ha Ephelah, the darkness, is the lightless prison God built for Satan, his fellow fallen spiritual messengers, and all of the human souls who have allied with them, who have deployed the same scheme that Satan deployed in the garden, the same scheme that Obama is deploying against Mitt Romney, which is to take something out of context, to misquote the individual, and then twist it to beguile all who will listen. It is the bitter and unpleasant place of darkness which serves as an eternal detention center for those who have led others away from Yahweh. In other words, their punishment will mirror their crime. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We have two callers on hold, and we will get to them after the break. Shattering myths. We've been talking about God executing judgment, but not on people today. It's one of the great myths of religion. God doesn't reach out and bring judgment on people. Our choices deliver the consequences that we suffer through. But that is not to say that God isn't judgmental. He is, as we should be. God will hold those accountable whose lives have been squandered by leading people away from him, and they will spend their eternity stumbling in the darkness, which is eternal separation from him. As I said before the break, we have both Steve from Pennsylvania and Larry on the line. Let's begin with Steve. I understand you have something you'd like to add to this discussion. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, good morning, Yada. It's great to talk with you. We've corresponded a few times via email, and first time I've had the chance to say hello to you, so hello, and
thank you, Steve.
The opportunity here. This might relate more to the first hour's conversation, but you did touch on some of this even just in the last segment, and this, I guess, with the current election cycle and just the focus on foreign policy, this came to mind last night, and I looked up the verse, and it's a contrast between Paul and Yah, and it's where in Romans 13, you know, Paul says, mm-hmm. let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And then, I'm aware that, in Scripture, Yah certainly contrasts that in Hosea 8:4, where he says, they have set up kings, but not by me. They've made princes, and I knew it not, and their silver and gold, they've made them idols, and they're cut off. And
I think also, Steve, just think for a moment. When Paul wrote that, Imperial Rome was the specific government that he was speaking of. And he is saying here that God established the authority of Imperial Rome. Now think about Imperial Rome. They went through a long list of the most despicable men in all of human history in terms of impulsive behavior as the emperors who were over that country. They were pagans. They were vicious. They would lie to almost every civilization. They would order the men to capitulate and join their legions, promising that they wouldn't war with that place when their men joined the legions, and then they would use the legions to bludgeon the women and children. They were amongst the most despicable people in all of human history. They built out of the ruins of the temple the Colosseum. They used the very Yehudim that had been enslaved by them in Yehuda to build the Colosseum, which became this lavish spectacle of the ultimate decadence of humankind. And so Paul is writing that that government, the most repulsive government maybe to ever have reigned on this earth, was established by God. Well, it wasn't established by the God I know. But it may have been established by the wannabe God that inspired Paul.
I hear you. I mean, and that angers me when I think about that. And I run into that a lot where people are just wannabe sheep and they say, well, it says in the Bible we're to be subject to the ruling authorities, and I don't buy it.
No, nor does God. It's one of a thousand proofs that Paul spoke on behalf of Satan, who would like people to be subject to and dependent upon human institutions, as opposed to having been inspired by Yahweh. There's a thousand reasons to come to that conclusion. The only informed and rational conclusion is that Paul lied, and that half of the Christian so-called New Testament is not only untrue, it's counterproductive. It is advocating on behalf of the adversary. And so the comparison that you've given between Yahweh's testimony here in Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, and also in Hosea, God is saying the opposite of what Paul said. And Paul's the founder of the Christian religion. So is Paul lying or is God lying? Those are your choices.
Exactly.
You know, it's not a hard call for me. You know, and by the way, it shouldn't be a hard call for anybody, because there is no way for Paul to win this argument, because Paul claims that he was inspired by the very God he is contradicting. So if that God lied, then Paul's testimony is worthless. And if that God told the truth, then Paul's testimony is counterproductive because he's contradicting him. It is impossible for the advocates of Paul to win that argument. And Yahweh proves, of course, that he did not lie. But Steve, your point is absolutely pertinent. It's absolutely valid. And it is beautifully stated and reinforced. Thank you for calling. Stay with us. We're going to speak with Larry after the break, whom I know that you know as well. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Larry, before you chime in here, I want you just to ponder something for a moment, because something rather extraordinary happened. It's ordinary in the Covenant family. It's extraordinary in the world at large. We had Steve call in from Pennsylvania. I know he called in the day that you hosted the show for me, the first time he's called in while I've been doing the show. He was on topic. That's it. The topic that he wanted to discuss was Paul's preaching that the Christians ought to obey their governments and be dependent and submit to their governments because God had established them. Which was the topic we were conveying, and he was explaining why Christians acquiesce to such nonsense. And then he quoted a passage from Hosea, where God says exactly the opposite. So, on topic, provided evidence, had a valid and rational conclusion based upon the evidence. It's a perfect depiction of what Yahweh encourages of us. Examine the evidence, consider it, and then use your nesama, your conscience, your ability to exercise good judgment to not only form the most rational conclusion, but once you've come to understand, to share it with others and articulate what you've come to know. Now, that's common, Larry, as you and I talk and as we have discussions with the members of God's covenant family. But it's pretty rare in our world. We didn't see any of that in the debate last night, did we?
No, we saw a couple of guys up there. I didn't hear anything that had anything at all to do with Yahweh, his teaching, his Torah. Nothing that would lead to what we would call blessing a nation. You know,
no.
We heard two men that you know could have had robes on and magic wands.
Yes,
like
yeah, talking about a make-believe world,
hypnotizing the audience.
Right.
I do have to ask this question of you. You know,
yes.
And, not to get off point, but you know, we all know about the Libya situation there, where you know
right.
they lied for 2 weeks and then they got caught.
Yeah.
You know, why do you think Romney just blew that off?
Yeah, I was told that for two reasons. One is so a little bit of background. The Obama administration went off and blamed the attack on that killed the American ambassador and four others, or four all total, in Libya as a spontaneous reaction to the anti-Islamic film, Innocence of Muslims. And he went out and paid for ads in the Muslim world saying we didn't do this, but they labeled the film disgusting and blamed it on the film. And we knew within hours of the time of the attack that Ansar Sharia had not only perpetrated the attack, but they had planned it months in advance. And that the vehicles of Ansar Sharia and the weapons of Ansar, the Friends of Sharia Law, were all used, as were the leaders of Ansar Sharia, photographed there on the scene. So the President of the United States knew for certain that he was deceiving the American people as to what had caused the death of the American ambassador, and he got caught. Now, the Obama administration, Romney, tried to hold him accountable and blundered it by mistaking the cause, which is fundamentalist Islam, Friends of Sharia Law, for terrorism, and got all tied up in his underwear over calling it a terrorist act as opposed to labeling it what it was, a planned assault by the supporters of Sharia law. And had nothing to do with the film. And he blew it. And he made a fool of himself on national television for having blown it. And so I'm convinced it's the same reason he said nothing and didn't defend himself in this last debate, is that those who prepped him knew that he didn't have it in him to go toe-to-toe. That if he was engaged in an actual debate, that he would lose. That even with all of the evidence on his side and being able to prove that the President of the United States misled the American people on what is the fundamental issue of our day, on the assault of fundamentalist Islam against everything we hold dear, and they knew he couldn't prevail because he hadn't in the past. And so that's why I think he was timid and chose not to bring it up. The strategists have justified him not bringing it up, saying that there's still too much fog, there's too much conflicting information. But what I was going to do in today's show, and I just didn't do because there were too many other things to talk about, I actually have the article that was published immediately after the killing of the ambassador, where each major news organization discovered and disclosed that we knew within 2 hours of the attack that it was perpetrated by Ansar Sharia and had nothing to do with the film. And yet, we are unwilling to discuss it. Perhaps it's also the realization, Larry, that neither of these men want to hold Islam accountable. That they both think that the Islamic world can be fixed with your magic wand. You know, that you talked about their magic wand, that it can all be fixed and we can make them better and we can bribe them to be our friends.
Well, they both continually went on saying that. I mean, that they were going to find. And and they were going to make sure, that was the word they both used, make sure that these are the good, you know, jihadists that they're going to fund over there, the people that are really involved in advancing democracy and freedom and so forth.
Well, in Syria, of course,
it's impossible.
There's 10% of Syrians who would share the average American values. They are the Christian Syrians, and
right.
But they're not opposing Assad. They're defending Assad because they know that those who are the quote unquote rebels and freedom fighters are fundamentalist Muslims, and if they are empowered, the Christians are as good as dead. And
I
so,
want to point one other thing out for these experts, people that think that either of these clowns are experts.
Okay.
Do you remember when Egypt was being taken apart? It was,
right.
You know, by these guys.
Right.
My wife walked in, looked at the television, and she shook her head, and I said, "What?" She goes, "Don't you see the woman yelling? She's wearing a black chador." I said,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And she went, ooh, knowing full well she looked 1 second at that crowd and
right.
knew who was taking Egypt over. It took my wife less than 3 seconds to figure out who this group was with one glance, shook her head, and walked away. Now, we have these people that are pretending to be experts.
Right.
A guy that was an investment banker and a guy that was a community organizer, we all know what that means, are experts in Mideastern policy. Now, is there really anybody that believes that? I mean,
no.
I don't. And I'm sitting there saying, now, you're both saying that you want to bring more weapons in there because that's the only way that you don't want to bring boots in, but you want to make sure that you, fund and arm the right guys. Well,
yeah,
no matter how you do it, that's why the Christians over there, the 10% in Syria, know damn well that they don't want the same thing to happen to Syria that's happened to Egypt. They know it because then they're
right.
dead.
That's correct. Yeah, and it is exactly what has happened in the Islamic world. The few countries that had secular governments have been taken over by fundamentalist Islamic parties, and the result is they are going to be further impoverished. Women are going to be treated all the worst. They're all going to be wearing their burqas. They're going to have no rights. Their economies are going to crumble, and they are going to, as a group, blame the United States and Israel on the disaster that they have perpetrated upon themselves, and they are going to, in that rage, to lash out at the United States and Israel, and it's going to be the catalyst for World War III. We have begun World War III, and we not only aided and abetted it, we've armed our foes. You know, the weapons that were used to kill the ambassador, supplied by Qatar, supplied by Saudi Arabia, but they're American weapons. We wanted them to be given to the Mujahideen, and then they were turned against us. Same thing's going to happen in Afghanistan, in Iraq. It's a disaster.
Both these guys said they were going to make sure they gave the weapons to guys who wouldn't turn them on us.
Oh yeah, and turning Egypt, which receives a couple of billion dollars a year of U.S. Advanced weaponry, turning control over that over to the Muslim Brotherhood. Boy, that was a really good move too, because after all, the Muslim Brotherhood is not only the most fundamentalist Islamic organization on planet Earth, but they are literally the wellspring from which every Sunni terrorist organization has sprung. They are, if you trace the roots back of the PLO, if you trace the roots back of Hamas, if you trace the roots back of Al-Qaeda, if you trace the roots back of the Taliban, they all go directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. And it is that organization that we have not only empowered in Egypt, but given them control all of over the American weapons. And guess against whom those weapons will be deployed?
Israel.
Of course. And how do you think it's going to make God react to America when he sees American weapons being deployed against Israel and against his chosen people?
There will be. There is nothing good going to come out of this for this country. Nothing good.
America took Saudi Arabia, and we agreed to sell the Saudi Arabians, which are a repulsive regime where women have absolutely no rights. And we have agreed to sell them $70 billion of our most advanced weaponry. Why? So they can spread Sunni jihadist ideology around the world. So what? They can continue their regime that creates a living hell on earth for the inhabitants of that torched and desolate land. Why did we do that? So that they can use those weapons against Israel?
Well, it goes right back to my thinking. Do you think the people that are actually in charge, the people pulling the strings, do you think that they're stupid or do you think that they're evil?
I tend to
believe the latter of the two. I don't believe they're stupid. I don't believe they're stupid.
Yeah. I think that Obama is misinformed. I think he has been misled, but I think that he is certainly smart enough that he can't blame his ignorance on his malfeasance. As for Romney, I'm not so sure. Particularly internationally, almost everything he said last night was stupid. Everything the president said was dishonest. And so there you have your choice. Do you want dishonest or do you want pure evil? I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back in a moment. Segment of Shattering Myths this morning. I would like to admit defeat. Larry and I have had a debate on whether or not most American politicians and religious leaders are ignorant or if they are evil. And I have tended to say that both is at play. Some are ignorant, the others are evil. But you know, during the break, Larry, I decided that my opinion should not matter here. It's God's position that matters. And I just reread what Yahweh told us about religious and political leaders in Yirmiyahu 23:10. And, you know, he spoke of them perpetrating this evil upon people. He said that what they were doing was completely evil. Ra'ah was the term that he used in this case, and that they used their power and influence and authority to do things that were not worthy. They were not valid or correct. God did not say they were stupid. He said that they were evil. And so when it comes to making the determination as to whether the preponderance of political and religious leaders and the institutions they uphold are ignorant, stupid, or evil and harmful, God's position prevails. That was the one that you were advocating. I was trying to take a middle ground. You were right, because Yah is right and I was wrong. I agree with you. God's made it
clear. I think Jeremiah puts it pretty clearly in a whole lot of places. I mean, it's like he's saying, if you go to these people and ask them for, you know, information, you know, you might as well go to Satan and ask for information.
That's essentially what he's saying. He said that the consequence is that those who listen to them, those who are beguiled by them, are going to stumble and fall in the darkness. They're going to trip, and they're going to end up in associated with this ha-eflah, this darkness, which is used to describe separation from God, and that it is being done purposefully to them. But those who are victimized by them have been warned. So they have no one to blame but themselves. God told us not to support them, not to trust them, not to listen to them, not to follow them. And somewhere in there would also say, don't vote for them. Don't advocate for them. You know, God here used this ha Eflah to describe this darkness that these slippery words were leading people to. You know, it's that same exact word that he used when he said there will be darkness, Eflah, over the land of Egypt, a darkness, Eflah, which will be felt in the whole land of Egypt for 3 days.
That sounds like Allah. I mean, that must be the same root.
It has a P in it, but other than that, it shares three of the same letters of Allah. You know, God is life. So as opposed to religion and politics, Ha Eflah is darkness. It's the antithesis of what God is. You know, darkness isn't the opposite of light. It is actually the absence. Yeah, it's the absence of life. And it's the same darkness, this Eflah, that was used as the shadow of death in Job, which is Job 34, 21, and 32. And while death is the opposite of eternal existence, death is not a punishment. It's simply the end of life. So, since God is Tob, since He is good, Eflah, darkness, speaks of the arrival of that which is evil, which is the opposite of God in Job 30:26. It is the intent of evil men to keep the masses in the dark, because those who are not enlightened are easier to fool, to mislead, to abuse, and to fleece. My intent with the first hour of this program today was to get into an article that was promoted by the New York Times that talks about the nature of American politics, where if someone is willing to tell people the truth, if they actually speak honestly, they have no chance of being elected. That people want to be lied to. They want to have somebody drag them through the darkness as opposed to expose the darkness with the light. And that we as a nation have now running in our DNA this desire to be lied to be told, boy, we're wonderful. Everything is so good.
Yeah, wrap me in the flag, give me apple pie, and send me down to Disneyland.
Yeah, and tell me how wonderful our military is, and how wonderful our economy is, and how wonderful our values are, and how wonderfully we're perceived in the world. And my friends, it isn't that way. It's darkness replacing the truth, leading an entire nation of people into the abyss, separating them from Yahweh. We'll return to this discussion on our program tomorrow. I want to thank you all for listening. I am Yada, and this is Shattering Myths.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bacteria.